Today on the 21st Show, we are live in the Illinois State Capitol Building, where Governor J.B. Pritzker is set to deliver his State of the State address and outline his plans for Illinois taxes and spending. That includes how to deal with a projected $2.2 billion budget gap and repeated attempts at steep funding cuts from the Trump administration in Washington. We're going to spend our entire hour on these topics, starting with another top Democrat in Illinois state government, Senate President Don Harmon. We'll then hear from a top Republican in the General Assembly, House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, and we'll take a deep dive into Illinois politics and finances with two people who've spent much of their careers studying these areas. I'm Brian Mackey. That's all coming up today on the 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. But first, news. Media. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are broadcasting live this morning from the Illinois State House because our entire program today is devoted to this year's State of the State and Budget Address, which Governor J.B. Pritzker is set to deliver at noon, less than 1 hour from now. We'll have live coverage and analysis of that over the next 2 hours. It comes after an intense year in which we saw the Trump administration make multiple attempts to cut funding for programs in blue states. The government also deployed thousands of federal agents to Chicagoland, ostensibly to round up people in the country without legal status, but using such aggressive tactics and casting such a wide net that they generated intense resistance from people in the area. We asked members of our texting group what you are hoping to hear from the governor today. Jesse and Mattoon told us, if I had the governor's ear, I'd tell him to work a week as an in-home care provider and decide what a good wage would be. They take care of others. It's time the state steps up and takes care of them. Joining us now to talk about all of this is the president of the Illinois State Senate, Don Harmon. He's a Democrat from Oak Park, joins me live now in the Capitol building in the rotunda where a rally is about to start nearby. President Harmon, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
So what are you going to be listening for from the governor today?
I expect the governor is going to propose another responsible, balanced budget to build on our legacy of success in putting the state on sound fiscal footing. It's an incredibly challenging year, and his work's cut out for him.
Talk about some of those challenges.
Well, every morning I wake up and wonder if a tweet from the White House is going to blow a billion-dollar hole in our budget. And that sounds overwrought, but it's true. Every day there seems like there's a new assault on Illinois and other blue states coming out of the White House that cripples our ability to provide services to the people here who need them.
The governor does, you know, like to talk about balanced budgets and portray himself as a man of some austerity. Spending has gone up, though, under his time in office, 11% when adjusted for inflation. I read this morning in the Tribune, the real number is obviously higher. How do you account for that?
Well, you can't pay billions of dollars of unpaid bills from the prior administration without increasing spending. We have paid off all of our short and medium-term debt. We're chipping away at the long-term pension debt. We're investing more money in public education. You can't do that without spending a little bit more, but the spending has been responsible.
One of the things we may hear the governor talk about today is pensions. The governor has called for full funding of state pensions while also calling out Tier 2 benefits for people who aren't as familiar. This is back in, I think, 2011, 2012, the state for new employees hired after that time, they get lesser pension benefits. So low, in fact, that there's some questions about whether it might violate federal Social Security rules. Full disclosure to our listeners, our home radio station is part of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and therefore we are all members of the state university retirement system. So talk about where are things with pensions? How big a problem is this today, right? It's something that needs to be addressed when we're talking about all these short-term problems. And as you said, another tweet, another, you know, a couple hundred million dollars cut from a blue state budget.
Our pension debt is a real problem. It's a problem more than a century in existence. It's one we're dealing with responsibly. This is the second year, I think, that our pension contribution in total is less than 20% of our general revenue fund spending. I'm hoping we have reached a responsible plateau where we continue on our path to fully funding our pensions. It's like a long-term mortgage. It's not something we're going to solve tomorrow. It's not something that was caused yesterday. This is literally more than a century in the making. and we're continuing on that responsible path. I support the governor's efforts. We're wrestling with the Tier 2 compliance issue that you mentioned. I expect we'll be able to navigate that.
Yeah, what would that take from a state spending standpoint to really try and match Tier 2 benefits, or if not match them to Tier 1 benefits, at least get them above that legal waterline, right?
Yeah, I think those are two very different questions.
Fair.
I want to be clear. The compliance with the federal safe harbor law relating to Social Security is one we can deal with on a case-by-case basis at the moment. It is likely better solved with a comprehensive structural solution, maybe not one to be done this year when we're battling back constant assaults from Washington.
So one of the things we've heard a lot of in recent days are teachers and advocates for education saying that the state is falling behind in its commitment to equitable funding for the lowest income school districts. I've seen figures in the billions of dollars thrown around. Does Illinois have money for that?
We're going to make a significant increase to the funding for kindergarten through high school education again this year. This too is like a mortgage. Almost a decade ago, we adopted a new funding formula that drives state resources to the school districts who need it the most. We've committed to increasing that funding year after year after year, and but for the first year of COVID when we thought we were falling off the edge of the world, we've maintained that commitment. I understand if educators want more now, but this is like a long-term mortgage as well. We're making our annual increases every year, year after year, to get to that point.
Of course, Illinois has a flat tax, and that's in the Constitution. There was an attempt to change that some years ago. That failed, as you well know. Talk about, though, this continued appetite among progressives, right? We got a text message today from somebody who said, yes, our taxes are high, but most of us have good public service. Our main challenge is to work at a more equitable distribution of services that is expensive and probably will require a more equitable taxing structure. Those who can pay more should pay more. What is the appetite or possibility of that?
I've said for years our tax system is upside down. Our property taxes are way too high. Our sales tax is too high and regressive. Our income tax, while no one likes paying it, is a flat tax that is regressive as a result and has no recognition that somebody earning $1 million has greater capacity than someone earning $25,000. I led the effort on the constitutional amendment that came up short. I still think it's the best public policy, but we have to convince the voters that we're going to be responsible stewards of their tax dollars. And I hope that the work we've done over the last several years is building that case. We can't do something like that without a constitutional amendment, and we can't amend the Constitution without the support of the voters.
Okay. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Don Harmon. He is the president of the Illinois State Senate, Democrat from Oak Park. If you want to join us today, you can't call in, unfortunately, but you can send us an email address. talk@21stshow.org is that address. One of the things we may see from the governor today is YIMBY. You're familiar with this acronym, Yes in My Backyard, the idea of there's not enough housing. Housing is such a huge cost for so many people. It's really hard to buy a house right now, especially for first-time home buyers. And he's talking to what we've read in the press, statewide zoning regulations. Can you tell us anything about that?
Not too much yet. I'm eager to hear what the governor reports to us in his speech. But I do applaud the governor's continued emphasis on driving affordability in housing. It's one of the few areas of affordability we can address somewhat directly. We need to invest more in the housing stock in Illinois. We need to make sure that there are more affordable entry points, and we need to make sure that missing middle of housing is invested in here in Illinois. So I've worked with the governor on this for many years and applaud his continued emphasis on it.
Oak Park is an area where you could have a house and then a multi-family structure next to each other. A lot of places in the state don't want that, though. What would you say to people who are worried about, you know, an apartment building going in next door and the changes that might bring?
There's ample conversation on what the best policy is, and there's room for compromise. I don't think anyone wants to take all local control away, but there should be some standards. There should be some recognition that it's not wise to build communities that no one can afford to buy a house in. In my neighborhood, not only in Oak Park, but in most of the communities I represent, there are multifamily buildings, big ones and small ones. There are small bungalows and ranch houses, and there are million-dollar mansions. Everyone would like the million-dollar mansion, but you got to start where you can afford. And I think those are good neighborhoods where you have a variety of housing choices.
Another issue that has been much on my mind in the past year, as it has been on so many Illinoisans, is the immigration enforcement we've seen here. Masked agents not identifying themselves. I know there is a fight in Washington right now about that. We have seen some states. I guess, let me step back. What is your top line reaction to what you have seen in Illinois from the Trump administration with regard to immigration enforcement?
It's nauseating and absurd. When he promised to go after the worst of the worst, the criminals among us, that has some rhetorical resonance. But when you're arresting six-year-olds and nursery school teachers and hardworking folks building garages in my alley, that's not what anybody here signed up for. We need a robust immigration system. We need secure borders. But the cruelty that is built into the Trump administration's attempt to go after people who are working to provide for their families is completely misplaced. And I'm glad that there's been pushback not only in Illinois but in Minnesota. It seems like they are recognizing at least some of the consequences of their bad policies.
I hear from a lot of Republicans who say if only the Illinois authorities would cooperate with the federal government, it wouldn't require so much violence. Instead, they're encouraging people to film federal agents just doing their jobs, that sort of thing. How do you respond to that critique?
It is just as absurd as the underlying policy. We do cooperate with federal officials. State law enforcement has a job to do. When there's a judicial warrant involved, they cooperate with federal immigration enforcement agents. They should not be conscripted by the federal government to ignore their responsibilities to provide law enforcement in the community and become deputy ICE agents. Again, they're just upside down, and the cruelty is not a bug, it's a feature.
Can you draw that out for people who maybe, we hear about the Trust Act a lot. Oh, we should, and you hear from conservatives, you should repeal the Trust Act or water it down. Talk about why you think that is good policy still for the state of Illinois.
Local police should be doing local police work. They should be patrolling our streets. They should be protecting our residents from crime. They are not junior ICE agents. They are not members of Donald Trump's secret police. They should be doing the job that we pay them to do. Again, if a judge says that this person needs to be turned over to federal authorities, they'll do that. But they should not be distracted from the important work they're doing and asked to go out and serve ICE.
What do you think? Some states have tried to take it upon themselves to deal with the issue of masks and badge numbers, not showing badge numbers, and having fake license plates or wrong license plates on vehicles, things like that. Is there a role for the state legislature in attempting to regulate what the federal government is doing here?
It's difficult to do, but we took a big step forward in the fall. We passed a law that gives Illinois residents the right to go to state court and sue ICE agents, Customs and Border Patrol agents who have violated their constitutional rights. And aggravating factors include wearing a mask, not wearing a badge, driving a car without a license plate. We've attempted to deal with that in a way that is constitutional, is effective within the state, and the reviews I've gotten are positive. I understand this idea is being shared with other states and being talked about in Washington. So I hope we're the trailblazer on this one and that we got it right.
What about following some of the other states that have trailblazed on masking, for example?
Again, the states are the laboratory of democracy. I know that those efforts in other states are being challenged, and I understand the challenge. So I think we'll stick with our model for now and see if those hold up in court. I'd be happy to revisit that, but I'm hoping right now the Illinois model is going to be the one that's as effective as anything else in the country.
We're coming to the end of our time together, and I know you have a lot to do today, including getting up to preside over the special session, which is going to be happening soon. But I do want to ask you about one other topic. President Trump recently called for having the Republican Party, quote, nationalize the voting and take over the election. I wonder what you think about that.
I'm sure he'd love to do that. I'm sure he'd love to cancel the election because he knows it's not going to be good for the Republican Party. Fact is, elections in this country constitutionally are run by the states and local election authorities. So I hope it's just hot air. I do worry that he would not only try to nationalize the election, but even more ominously, use ICE and military presence on our streets to intimidate voters. So we're going to try to build a wall against that for November. But this is scary stuff.
What do you think about the argument that, so we've seen a number of states doing mid-district redistricting, or mid-decade redistricting, I should say, trying to squeeze more seats out. Illinois' map, especially for members of Congress, is pretty squeezed as it is. What do you say to people who say, you know, Illinois is an example of unfair gerrymandering, right? Where you look at most statewide elections, they tend to be about 55 Democrat, 45 to 40 Republican, at least during the Trump era. And yet the General Assembly is much more lopsided than that in favor of Democrats, and so is the congressional delegation. How do you respond to the, you know, the notion that Democrats are behaving unfairly here?
It's always fun to take those arguments. Interestingly, candidates for statewide office, Republican candidates for statewide office, have won an awful lot of districts represented in the General Assembly by Democrats. It's not the partisanship, it's the quality of the candidate. And I'm very happy that we have Democrats who have won in districts that show a propensity to vote for Republicans. It's because they're more tuned into their communities, they're more tuned into what voters want out of Springfield. It's a majority right now, but it's one we can never take for granted. We need to make sure people are responding to the people who sent them to Springfield.
Don Harmon is the president of the Illinois State Senate. He's a Democrat from Oak Park. Thank you for taking time out of your day today.
Thanks for having me on the air.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with the Republican leader in the Illinois House of Representatives, Tony McCombie. I also want to mention we had some texts that I read during that segment. If you want to join our texting group, you can always do that. The number, you send the word talk, I should say, to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word talk to 217-803-0730. All right, we are going to take a break here on the 21st show. We are broadcasting live today from the Illinois State Capitol Building. We are about 38 minutes away from the governor's budget and state of the state address. We'll have more after a short break. This is the 21st show. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, broadcasting live today from the Illinois State Capitol Building in Springfield. We are about 36 minutes away from Governor J.B. Pritzker delivering his State of the State and budget address. Here are a few more thoughts some of you shared with us. Tony in Champaign sent a text saying, I'm sensitive to any indication the governor's favoring the rich over those still struggling. I have to admit I've seen no sign of that. I appreciate that a great deal as I know the pressure must be intense and doing the right thing is never easy. We also heard from Amy in Wakanda who said, can Illinois' budget patch the holes the federal government is leaving? We need help. The citizens need help. I guess we need roads and stuff. But when my friends can't pay rent or find housing, are considering purposely becoming homeless to access aid because they literally can't access anything else, I have to wonder if the U.S. counts as a failed state. We are joined now by the Republican leader of the Illinois House of Representatives, Tony McCombie. She is from Savannah, Illinois, which is on the Mississippi River in the northwest part of the state. She joins me now in person. Leader McCombie, welcome back to the 21st show.
Happy Budget Day.
Happy Budget Day. What are you hoping and expecting to hear from the governor today?
Well, I would hope that we would have at a minimum a flat budget, but I'm not sure that will happen. We haven't seen a budget in the last 8 years from the governor that has an increased spending up until today, which we'll find out more, but 15% higher every overall. So it's like, or no, 15 million, 15 million. That's wrong. It is 15%. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, what I read in the Tribune this morning is it's a 40% increase if you look at raw dollars in the time of his administration, but about 11% when you adjust that, because obviously inflation has hit all of us in the past few years.
Yeah, and just think about it. This is just our general revenue fund that we're talking about. Our budget is much bigger than the $55 billion that he passed last year. I mean, it's around $130 billion.
When you're counting healthcare spending.
Yeah, when you're counting everything else, absolutely. Right. It's just a a portion of what we're talking about. But that's where he takes the money for. You know, last year we saw about $1 billion in tax increases. We certainly saw partisan pork projects that went around the state with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle. These are things the governor did. I will say, he did say yesterday that we shouldn't have any of those this year. We're going to have to take our expectations and hold off. But he also said that last year in our four top meeting as well. So it unfortunately did not happen.
Four tops, that's a three. You don't hear people talk about that as much anymore in the era of supermajorities, but that's you and the other legislative leaders, I understand, met with the governor yesterday, or
yes,
his team at least.
Yes.
And what sort of mood did you get from, you know, do you feel, how far apart are you and he on sort of thinking of Illinois as being in a dire situation? Fiscally, at least.
Well, I think it's probably, I would say it's on the reasoning, and I think we'll probably see that in this budget. It's going to be about blame. You know, one of your viewers or listeners had mentioned that, and there certainly are some federal things that are happening, whether they're pauses and restarted, but to go ahead and blame, you know, 50 years, we've had one party control for 50 years minus two in the state of Illinois. We didn't get here because of who's our president today.
Although a lot of Republican governors in that time as well, but what do you make of the Trump administration, you know, sort of targeting blue states to try and bring them in line, policy wise, or maybe I don't even know if that's fair to say what the reason is. You know, targeting this program, that program, Illinois and other states have had to go to court to try and get that funding restored. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's important that we certainly have transparency in budgeting. That is, if we had that around every state, we wouldn't be having some of the issues or blue states being targeted. I think one of the problems with the blue states, ours in particular, is we're not necessarily wanting to share information. We're not looking at ourselves. You know, agency mismanagement. Let's talk about the SNAP funds. I mean, if we didn't have an error rate that went from 6% to 11% under Governor Pritzker, we wouldn't be under threat of losing our SNAP dollars. But here's the thing. Why do we not want to fix that error rate? Because that's going to be more money that can be, you know, helping our most vulnerable people.
Why do you think that is? So SNAP, this is the food assistance program.
Yes.
Why do you think that the administration, what's your hypothesis for why that is?
Well, I think it's just, it's been, whether it's an underpayment or an overpayment, increasingly less oversight would be my guess. Obviously, during COVID times, there wasn't the recertification, and we didn't go back to, you know, doing that. So also just assuming people were, you know, being honest without giving proof of to certify, you know, they didn't bring in their electric bill or their cost to show that they even qualified for the program. That is going to cause some fraud.
Yeah. So is it possible, though, for the state to approach? We heard Senate President Harmon was sitting in the same chair you're in a few minutes ago, and he talked about, you know, the president's social media usage can always seem to, like, throw a wrench into Illinois' budget plans here and there. I wonder, you know, how can the state approach budgeting deliberately in an environment where you do have, you know, the president sort of pulling back Plan 4 funding here and there at his, you know, discretion or whim, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to hear today, my guess, just from our conversation yesterday, uncertainty. The Democrats are going to use the word uncertainty, right? And that is valid. But that happens with every new president, right, and their priorities. Same with the new governor and their priorities. Same with this budget address that we're going to hear. This is his priorities. The thing that he has to think about and what his administration here and the governor needs to think about is what is the priorities of Illinois families, not J.B. Pritzker.
What are your priorities this legislative session, your caucus?
We've been saying it over and over again, year after year, affordability. It seems to be the new buzzword with my colleagues on
I'm
the other side.
I'm hearing that a lot.
Yeah. But let's talk about, you know, property tax relief. Is there going to be things in this budget that are going to make folks have to raise their property tax to cover the losses from the state?
So that would be the state takes money away from schools or whatever, local governments.
Yeah, and then they have to raise their taxes. Yeah, absolutely. Is there going to be anything in there to address what his own report came back with the 2030, the aggressive goals of shutting down coal and natural gas? Is there going to be anything in his budget about extending that, those dates, so we can have, you know, reliable energy? I think that's certainly something that I hope he would talk about. So property taxes, energy, these are real issues in everyday life.
Let's go back a year. The governor, I think it was a year ago, was it two? The grocery tax. The big talk, oh, we're going to make things more affordable, we're going to repeal the grocery tax. Turns out most, I don't know about most, but at least millions and millions of Illinoisans are still paying a grocery tax. It's just to a different government agency, ultimately, well, how the money gets sort of distributed, right? It's like to the, when you pay your bill, it's basically the same thing. What do you make of how that's sort of played out?
Well, let me remind you, that was a campaign year. So that is, that's kind of some
so
of the
2 years ago
some
then,
of the funny business that goes on under this dome here. So and that's why, you know, we're not in that much right now because we have a primary coming up March 17th. So you don't see us down here very little until after that. And we'll get in and get out, and we'll see probably with the November election, we'll probably see some pretty disastrous things and lame duck in January after the election.
Disastrous.
Disastrous.
From a Republican
costly.
Perspective.
Well, I would say from an Illinois family's perspective, it's going to cost more money. I mean, you just saw the veto session with, you know, $8 billion, $11 billion total of policy passed. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Mm. I feel like I need to explain to our listeners that they are hearing a rally. This is one of the things that often happens on days when the legislature is in session. There's a rally taking place in the rotunda of the Capitol, about 100 feet away from us. It's a group called Equity and Transformation. They say their mission is to, quote, build social and economic equality for black workers engaged in the informal economy. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Tony McCombie, Republican from Savannah, who is the minority leader in the Illinois House of Representatives. Governor J.B. Pritzker is set to give his budget address a little less than a half hour from now. One of the things the governor has talked about of late is calling for full funding of state pensions, also calling out Tier 2 benefits, which may be so inadequate that they violate some of the federal Social Security rules. Full disclosure, I said this earlier, but all of us on the 21st show are members of the State University Retirement System because our station's at the U of I. But what do you think of what the governor has been, you know, talking about, and what are the possible paths here?
Well, I was happy to hear that he is looking to extend the buyout. I think that is certainly not the, you know, the fix to fix it, but it certainly is helpful.
Individual pensioners can choose to, or members can choose to pay cash out of the system. Basically.
That's correct. Yeah, and then invest how they want. I think that is certainly, and I was glad to hear that he's considering that. Obviously, there will be some fixes needed with the Tier 2 for the safe harbor, what you were just speaking about. I don't know if that is, how many people is that going to affect? I hope rather than just saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, I hope that the retirement systems are studied to say, okay, maybe it's only going to affect, and I'll just a random number, 100 people, not 1,000 people. So you don't need a blanket policy to fix something that may not be broken for other people. So I hope he really digs into that with his team and looks at that, because it will be a pension sweetener. I mean, even thinking about rolling back the retirement age, which was one of the Tier 2, I think it's important to look at that and consider that. But also the ramp up has been extremely difficult, especially for our municipalities. You know, to say that you have to be 100% funded on day one of your employment really puts folks behind, and you're having 25-30% of your budgets to just pay pensions. So this is a problem not only within the state government, but it also in our municipalities, fire, police, you know, anywhere that's getting a public pension.
What picture do you think would have to change about state budgeting to really make adjustments to Tier 2 pensions or pension funding in general, right? It's now such a huge chunk. There's a term people who study budgets say crowding out, right? It's crowding out other spending that the state could be doing, or tax discounts, if you want to think of it, using the money for that.
Yeah.
What would it really take to make that sort of adjustment?
Well, I think the number one thing that we could do would be to grow our state. And, you know, we need more people here. We certainly shouldn't be growing government. That's certainly going to add to the cost. But holistically, I think we need to be looking at, you know, how do we build or bring better policy to bring more people to Illinois rather than seeing the out-migration that we have been seeing. Also, to say, you know, I would love to say, and I've said it myself when I was first running, you know, we need a 401k style. Okay, let's consider that. But how are we going to fund the others if we're just going right to that? So there has to be... maybe it's a phased-in approach. Maybe it's over time. Maybe it's just for, you know, the new folks that are coming in, obviously. There's certainly different ways that we could look at that. This is not where I'm an expert. But certainly, there's a lot of ideas out there that I think would be helpful. Number one thing is make sure you're paying your pension payment here in the state. Now, we have been doing that, but before my time, I think there was roughly 6-7 pension holidays, they called them. That's where the problem really started.
You mentioned getting people here to Illinois. One of the things we're also expected to hear from the governor today is housing affordability. Do you have a YIMBY, I guess is the term that's thrown around, right? Yes, in my backyard. The governor is expected to talk about being able to, changing so there's a statewide zoning regulation, I should say, and then people would be able to build, you know, multifamily structures on lots that are designed for one family. You know, that may be why I was talking to Senate President Don Harmon from Oak Park. That's pretty common in his area. I'm guessing less common in Savannah. What do you think of this, you know, talk of this proposal?
Well, any sort of statewide zoning terrifies me. I come from I'm from local background or local government. And, you know, we have elected officials who and in communities that have their own zoning for the state to come in and has been doing right now. I mean, right now, probably a lot of your listeners are wondering about all of the solar popping up, right? We have taken away local control for them to be able to say no to solar projects. So we are not dictators, and the governor is not a dictator. Just for the record, he certainly shouldn't lead that way and put our state on zoning, right? It's like we have state rights, we have local governments, and they should be able to govern the way they need to.
I wanted to also ask you, we have just a few minutes left in our time together, how would you rate the job that Immigration Enforcement and Border Patrol has been doing in Illinois, especially last fall where we saw those clashes?
Well, certainly if we are getting rid of the violent criminals, and I believe that, I haven't seen a number, but I believe that is happening not only in Illinois, but around the nation. Also, you know, under the federal...
It's also gone beyond that, too, right? The tamale lady who makes the news sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's always going to be that situation, but we shouldn't be looking at those one-offs. We should be looking at it, you know, as a full picture. And right now, you have... you've had thousands of people even self-deport with the funding that is going to them. I think it's $2,000 per person and your flight to go back home. So you have that in combination with ICE coming. I am certainly not happy with the protest, people getting in the way of law enforcement. I don't care if it's ICE or if it's ISP or your local sheriffs. It's gotten so volatile. I mean, these folks here right now are in I don't want to say it's a protest, but a rally, and they're very peaceful. I mean, a little loud, but they're very peaceful, right? I mean, they're not causing any problems. So we as leaders should be trying to take that temperature down, not say we want to get in the way, get in their face, be a disruptor. That's not what we should be doing right now. But overall, we have 550,000 people that came to our state here illegally because we are a sanctuary state. We cannot afford to continue to spend. We've already at over $2 billion, and this budget probably is not going to cut any of that health care funding, education funding, or housing funding.
What about the masks and not wearing badge numbers, things like that? Do you think that's appropriate?
I do. I think it's appropriate for their safety. It wasn't all that long ago that we were required and told that we had to wear our masks. So I do think that's important.
Would you, like, if the state police wanted to start, you know, I'm worried I'm on the highway, should a state police officer be able to wear a mask and take their badge number off and that sort of thing?
Well, I think if they're in a place, an arena, that they are being doxxed, and yeah, I think that's appropriate. Unfortunately, this is the world that we live in right now, and social media certainly does not help that. I mean, putting people's private lives on the airways for people to get fired up to hurt them.
We may be hearing about a social media tax. Unfortunately, we are out of time now, so I won't have time to ask you about that. Tony McCombie is the Republican leader in the Illinois House of Representatives. Thank you for being with us again.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, we are going to continue our conversation anticipating the governor's budget address, which is coming up in about 19 minutes, assuming he starts on time. After the break, we are going to hear from a couple of people who specialize in studying state government and politics and state finances. This is the 21st show. We will be back in about 90 seconds. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, hosting today from the Illinois State Capitol Building in Springfield. In about 15, 17 minutes or so, Governor Pritzker will be delivering this year's State of the State address. More thoughts from our texting group ahead of the speech. Christopher in Brimfield said, "I think Illinois is holding its own under this administration. States need to band together." We also heard from Lloyd in Danville, who said Illinois is fiscally responsible and has withstood a barrage of setbacks, criticism, and direct attacks, which is why leadership matters. At 71, retired from food manufacturing, "I want the governor to bully Trump and his rich friends to bring back to Illinois the types of jobs that give me the life I now enjoy." End quote. Joining us for the speech itself are two experts. One is an economist who specializes in state finance. The other, a political scientist who studies public opinion in the U.S., especially as it relates... I'm sorry, that is the wrong introduction. I am taking that out. The other is a political scientist who specializes in state government. Paula Worthington is a senior lecturer at the Harris School of Public Policy at the University of Chicago. She's also academic director of Harris Policy Labs within the school, but she is on leave this year working as a collaborating scholar with also some outdated text here. All right, I'm also going to introduce Brian Gaines, who is the Honorable W. Russell Arrington Professor in State Politics for the University of Illinois System. He's also a professor in the Department of Political Science at the U of I Urbana-Champaign. Brian, welcome back to you, and Paula, welcome to you. Welcome back to you as well.
Thanks.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Good morning.
All right. So I know you were joined into our Zoom session listening to the leaders there. And Brian, I'll start with you. I wonder if you have any reaction to what you heard from Senate President Don Harmon and Leader Tony McCombie.
I didn't hear a lot. That surprised me greatly. I thought it was interesting that Senator Harmon said the pension problem is a century in the making. Usually people peg it at about 30 years and talk about the 1994 decision with the pension holidays. Claiming it's a century-long problem was kind of a new one for me, but I think I heard a lot of the talking points I expected to hear from both of them. I think on different views about taxes. I think if that's a preview of what we'll hear in the budget, then I won't get surprises there either.
Yeah, Paula Worthington, what about you? What did you make of what the leaders had to say?
I have to agree with Brian. I think there were not a lot of surprises there on the economics and budget front. An acknowledgement from both leaders that we're under incredible stress right now from a fiscal perspective, in part due to federal policy changes and a lot of uncertainty around that. And I'm looking forward to hearing what the governor actually proposes in that environment.
So, Paula, the projection as of at least a few months ago was that Illinois is up against a $2.2 billion deficit for the next budget year, the one that starts in July this summer. There was a lobbying day for education funding yesterday. Teacher unions have been saying the state owes schools billions of dollars. I wonder what you make of that.
Sure. Great question. I think in the environment we're in right now, this is not the time to undertake dramatic increases in funding of existing programs or to move aggressively into funding new programs. This is a time to show restraint, partly, again, because you have sort of the federal policy chop coming from Washington, D.C. But we also know from a recent report prepared by Moody's for COGFA that the overall state economy is expected to slow going forward. And that's going to mean moderate increases in our core revenues going forward. So I think the the governor has in the last few weeks signaled pretty clearly that this is going to be a relatively flat and conservative budget approach that he's going to recommend. And I think advocates in education and in other sectors are going to have to figure out where they fit in that moderate approach.
Brian Gaines, I want to ask you, Governor Pritzker is expected to put a lot of the blame for the current fiscal problems in Illinois on the Trump administration, right? Withholding funds, tax cuts, that sort of thing. I wonder how you assess both the effectiveness and more importantly, the truth of those arguments.
Well, I'll start with the easy part of the effectiveness. I think it's a natural move for him to make. He's one of the many governors in the country. When he looks in the mirror, sometimes he's a president looking back at him. I think a lot of what he's going to be doing is going to be hard not to think is also positioning himself, looking ahead to 28. That's a long way away, but politicians have to think in the long term. So Donald Trump is a, in some respects, a good ally for him. He can blame all sorts of problems on Trump, and the Trump administration's, I think, botching of what was an issue that actually helped him win the election, and border security and immigration will, I'm sure, come up because it works very well for Pritzker to say, this is how incompetent is this federal government? They're taking money away from us and they're arresting the nursery schoolers. But the fiscal problems are really not entirely about the federal government. And I think the grocery tax, which came up with one of the interviews, is one of these examples of localities that can say the state is taking money away from us, just like the federal government's taking it away. If the locality wants the grocery tax, they impose it themselves. If the state's really unhappy the federal government's not giving enough money, Illinois is not one of the poorest states in the country. The people of Illinois can pay for the services through the state government. It's not obviously the case that, and I'm thinking here about public opinion, is this a winning argument for him to make that it's all our woes are the fault of the federal government, Donald Trump is ruining the budget? I think that goes a little ways, but I don't think that goes nearly as far as the visceral dislike people have of images of ICE agents that are, in some respects, putting them their back up against the Trump, even when we're not talking about immigration, when we start talking about economics.
Yeah. Paula Worthington, what do you think of the veracity of Pritzker's repeated blaming of the Trump administration for Illinois' both short and medium-term fiscal problems?
Well, Brian's already spoken to the value of those arguments in the political arena. What I would point out is that the state's fiscal structure, how much it's collecting in revenues and how much it's spending, is still somewhat unsustainable. We have not yet made the progress we intended to make or want to make in terms of paying down our unfunded pension liabilities. We've made some progress and have reached a bit of a plateau there, but it's still in front of us to see about getting those unfunded liabilities to decrease and get us closer to a better funded ratio. And that's on us. That's not something that comes from the federal government. We have an outdated sales tax structure that fails to acknowledge the change in the structure of our economy over the last 30 years. We rely too heavily on local property taxes to fund certain kinds of local services, particularly our schools. And we don't yet have a tax and revenue base and structure that's going to facilitate and encourage economic growth. So those are pre-existing conditions, I would call them, for the state. And then the chop and churn coming from Washington, D.C. has made the environment even more precarious.
More precarious. Yeah, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with Paula Worthington of the University of Chicago, Brian Gaines of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. We are less than 10 minutes away from the scheduled start of Governor J.B. Pritzker's State of the State and Budget Address. We are broadcasting live from the Illinois State Capitol Building today. No phone calls, but you can always let us know what you think now and during the speech. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. Talk at 21stshow.org. Brian, can you, last year, Governor Pritzker made headlines in his for his budget address, which is, you know, something that is often paid to most closely by people who, you know, make their careers studying state government and state budgets. It's not necessarily easy to break through, but he compared the actions of the early second Trump administration to the rise of Nazi Germany. I wonder what sense we have of how voters, you know, respond to that sort of rhetoric, what you make of, you know, making the ultimate comparison in political discourse.
Yeah, he could maybe claim to be a trendsetter in this one, because I think the reaction has been so strong to the footage, and lately in Minnesota, but previously in Illinois, of ICE agents, that lots of people have been using the same kind of rhetoric, and it's worrying. I think the it's pretty hard. Political scientists try hard to figure out what's the cost of is polarization between the Democrats and Republicans, who see each other as further and further away, and they see, you know, not just rivals but enemies. How does that damage the politics in an ordinary democracy? And there's a lot of disagreement, but very few people say that heated rhetoric should is a good thing. It's that comparing your political rivals to Nazis is helpful. And
I hear so many politicians using the word fight. I'm a fighter. You want a fighter? That I've got to imagine it must focus group well, at least, or poll well, because it's so popular now.
Yeah, I think it focus groups well, and I think a particular aspect of American politics is that there's a primary before there's a general, and you have to worry about your own side before you worry about the middle. Thinking, harken back to one of the ways that Donald Trump won the election, in part, was the Kamala Harris's position she took when she was trying to get the Democratic nomination in 2020, and she was positioning herself on the left. Those came back to hurt her in the campaign, in the general election. I think before J.B. Pritzker's thinking, he'll be using Donald Trump often as his foil, but he's thinking about beating Gavin Newsom at the moment, and the two of them are trying to figure out what's the right way to persuade Democrats. They're the person who can beat, it won't be Trump, I think, notwithstanding crazy claims about a third term. It'll be Rubio or Vance, probably. But they have to walk this line of pleasing left-wing voters who are maybe increasingly left-wing, while the Rubio and Vance have to please right-wing voters who are increasingly right-wing. It's a tricky balancing act. It's a little bit distinctive about American politics that the nominees are chosen in public elections as well. So I think that's sort of some of the explanation, and I don't think we're going to see a change in the near future. And I do think, at the moment, as Pritzker's thinking about, if you inject him with sodium pentothal, he might admit Donald Trump is his ally and Gavin Newsom is his enemy, because he wants that nomination.
I don't know that I would. Yeah, that's an interesting thought experiment there. Paula Worthington, just a minute and a half left until we need to end the 21st show and get ready for the live broadcast of the governor's budget address. What are you hoping to hear from him on state finances today?
Well, I think what I'm really going to be looking for is a budget that reflects restraint, on both the spending and the revenue side of the sheet. Any new spending opportunities or proposals need to be vetted and assessed in terms of the value or the impact they're likely to have, and it has to be consistent with the priorities. Why spend more money on this initiative than some other purpose? On the revenue side, I expect and hope to see no significant increases or new kinds of taxes imposed. I believe that the state's fiscal structure remains in need of a reset more generally, and we'll be looking to see what the governor proposes in that regard.
All right. We are going to end the 21st show there. I want to thank Paula Worthington and Brian Gaines, although some of our stations will be staying with us for the live broadcast at the noon hour, as will Paula Worthington of UChicago and Brian Gaines of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thanks for being with us on the 21st show. I want to mention we read text messages from listeners throughout the program today. If you want to join our texting group, you can do that by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. 1-800-273-0730. You can also email us. Our address is talk@21stshow.org. And you can find that address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. And Reginald Hardwick is our news director. You can find podcasts of this program at Apple, Spotify, on YouTube, or wherever you listen. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again in about 2 minutes.